unto my path. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Pastor David clearly is not here. He is out and about. And so he came up to me a couple months ago and said, hey, could I pencil you in for one of the weeks that I'm not going to be here? How about the scripture section? And I said, okay, that sounds fun. In some ways, one of the easiest sections or one of the easiest topics to talk about, because I love scripture, I've been involved with scripture for a long time. In other ways, one of the hardest ones to think of, how do I encapsulate this all into 2 hours, because I have so much more than that to say. No, it's only a few pages of notes. So my history with scripture, I grew up in a Christian household, and the church that we went to was Pentecostal with 3-hour services a couple times a week, so you guys get off easy. but also, it was more focused on prayer, more focused on worship, and our interactions with Scripture were more on the memorization side. My wife loses her glasses everywhere, so I'm gonna hold on to those. So I did a few different programs that we worked on memorizing scripture. So we did Hebrews 1 year. We did Matthew 1 year. I still have the genealogy of Jesus tucked in my head. Did a lot of memorizing and being able to recite, here's what scripture is, but not a whole lot of in-depth looking at it and dig into it on your own. Went off to college and got involved with a Christian ministry that specialized in scripture study, and found myself my freshman year sitting in the study, arms crossed in the corner, glowering at everyone, grumpy and judgmental and a reluctant participant, thinking to myself, I know all this. Why do I need to look at it again with people who know less than I do? Yeah, I was fun. And as we looked at Scripture, as we dove into what is this that God has to say, what does it mean for our lives, I found that it challenged me, and it convicted me, and it encouraged me, and it inspired me, and I have had powerful prayer times, I have had amazing worship experiences, but nothing has shaped and molded and cultivated my heart and life and character more than Scripture. To the point where I turned to Karina and I said, do you know I have led, not just been a part of, but led 1,600 Bible studies in the last 30 years? That's like one a week for almost 30 years. It's been a substantial part of my life. I hadn't quite put those kind of numbers to it. It mostly made me think, golly, I'm old. But it also struck to me, like, this has been an integral part of my, not just my faith journey, but my life and how I have experienced God and community and life. I'm not here today. Today's topic is not to convince you that the Bible might be okay. It's not to convince you, like, there are good things in Scripture, because we have been in the midst of looking at Scripture and studying Scripture. You know the Bible is good. You know God's Word is powerful. You know it is true. You know it is the inspired Word of God. My hope is to encourage you that we may take for granted the treasure that is at our fingertips. It is really easy to keep the Bible closed. It is so big and dense it can be overwhelming, even trying to think of, well, what should I read at the moment? Should I hop into Genesis? Should I go back to the Gospels? Should I dive into Paul a little while? Should I avoid Paul and move into something more cool like the book of James? Should I move into poetry? Or, you know, what part should I enter into? It can be overwhelming to think about what am I going to try and work my way through at the moment. It's also easy to keep our Bibles closed because we know how Scripture has been used and twisted and manipulated by the world. The temptation of Jesus shows that Satan is a master theologian and a master biblical scholar, and we have seen evidence of that, of people using the Bible for their own personal gain, for their own ends. One of my father's favorite lines was, "Well, son, the Bible says Judas went and hanged himself, and it also says go and do likewise. You have to be careful how you're using Scripture, because that's not what it meant." One of the other things that I've found is that it's always easy to keep the Bible closed because there's always someone who knows more. There's always someone who has more experience, more training, more letters after their name. They are able to quote, well, here's where this connects to this, connects to this. It is easy when looking at Scripture to feel incompetent, feel inferior, and wonder, why should I even bother trying? Why don't I just remember what I've been taught, remember the bathroom plaques that I've memorized, remember to grab a snippet here and a snippet there, and that will be enough. Because if I dive into trying to explain and understand, I'm going to run up to somebody who has more questions than I have answers to. I will look foolish, and they will lose their faith because I'm not a good enough explainer of Scripture. No. One of the stories that we looked at Gospel Lab this last week was Philip and the Ethiopian. So Philip is just wandering around because God said, go walk on that road. And the stranger comes up to him and says, I have a piece of Holy Scriptures and I don't understand it. Can you help me? Philip doesn't say, well, here's a pamphlet that you can read in order to answer your questions. Have a good day. He also doesn't say, wait while I go find a podcast that answers just that question. Peter is not too far away. I can take you to him. He jumps in, and one of the passages of Scripture says, always be ready to defend your faith. Always be ready to explain Scripture when a non-believer asks. Because you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be a couple steps further along than the person that you are trying to lead through the passage. I don't know is a perfectly fine answer if somebody asks you a question about Scripture. I don't know the answer to that. I will go look it up. I will see what I can find. I won't try is not an okay response. So as we look at Scripture, as we look at Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When, I'll ask you the same question that I asked the kids. When do you need a lamp? When it's dark. And when you don't know the way. To illustrate this, a couple of stories. So, I am a man of a certain age who has experienced the need to use the restroom in the middle of the night fairly regularly. I have gotten to the point where I don't need a lamp. I don't need a flashlight to get from my bed to the bathroom without turning a light on. In fact, I've even worked out to where I can just squeeze one eye shut and navigate my way with half an eye open to convince myself I'm not awake and I can go back to sleep and it'll be fine. I hear the knowing laughs from some people. I see the questioning glances from the younger groups, and I promise you it's coming. Now, I tell you that story to tell you this one. When I was a younger man, I was leading some mission trips down in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. And we would do vacation Bible schools, and we'd go out into the little villages. So there was one village that we went to out in the middle of the jungle, like hours and hours away from the city that we had been based out of. So we went out to this village, and this family allowed us to use their house. We brought our hammocks with us, and they have they don't have solid beds there. They have hammock hooks, so you can bring your hammock with you, string it up. And so there were 4 to 6 of us who would be sleeping in concrete walls with thatch roofs. And it was, you know, very small. Spanish was their second language as well. So their first language was Mayan. And so we would be trying to have vacation Bible schools with both the instructors and the kids working in a second language. God was good. They learned about Jesus, but it was a challenge. So this one house that we went to, they had no indoor plumbing. That was a luxury in the Yucatan Peninsula because of a number of geographical features. So the outhouse was out back and up a little hill. So there's a dirt path that you go up to the outhouse right next to the pig pen. And I tell you, the pig was the size of a horse. It was, especially as we were walking up the hill, you would come eye to eye with this thing, and the fence, the pen, was just a pile of sticks, and this thing was pork chop steroids, and if it wanted to, every time that it brushed up against the fence shook, and you're like, oh, if this gets out, I don't stand a chance, because it outweighs me by like 4 times. And so as we progressed through the week, we would say, instead of, I need to go to the outhouse or I need to go to the bathroom, I'm going to visit the pig. So we would travel up there. During the day, it was fine because you have visibility. It's all flat. You can see where Monsieur Pig is and just, you know, see if he's grumpy. But at night, especially on cloudy nights where it was still triple digits of heat, triple digits of humidity, and there's no stars in the sky, there'd be this small path that you're trying to walk up, and you know that the big grassy fields on either side of the path are full of bugs and spiders and things that like to eat bugs and spiders, and so you don't want to stray off the path. And you also know if I stray off the path a little bit, I'm gonna come on that pen and I can't see the 400-pound pig. And it might not feel like it wants to be interrupted this time of night. So every single time that one of us had to leave in order to go visit the pig in the middle of the night, we made sure to take a lamp or a flashlight or whatever. That is when you need a lamp, both when it's dark and when you don't know the way and feel like there are dangers out there. When life feels dark and uncertain and dangerous is when we most need the lamp and the Word of God. Whether that is, I'm sick, someone I love has gotten sick, there is losing my job, or money troubles, or having to move, or intense fighting between parents or siblings, or people who have broken relationships, all those make us feel like, I don't know what to do, and the world feels really scary. And that is the moment when we need light. Now, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It does not say, thy word is a map that lines out exactly how to get to where I'm going. It doesn't say, thy word is a set of architectural designs to put up streetlights all along the path so that it is light lit up the whole way. It is a lamp that only is going to illuminate a couple steps ahead of you. See, the Bible is not a textbook. It's not a science textbook. It's not a history textbook. It's not even a theology textbook. It has elements of all those pieces in there. You can understand some of each of those subjects by reading scripture. But the point of a textbook is for you to learn and memorize the information that's in there, and then you can close it and put it to the side and you don't need it. The invitation of Scripture is not that it's a how-to book that you can just discard. It's a story of God and his children. It is an invitation to come closer. Instead of how to, it's come here. There are chances within this story to see yourself in the passage as God invites you even closer. The purpose of Scripture is not that we become independent of God. The purpose of Scripture is for us to draw closer to God. The lamp shows us the next couple steps that we have, and it highlights, here are the things in my life that need to grow, or need to change, or need to die, or need to be nurtured and live, need to be pruned and allowed to flourish. Each of those is an invitation by God to come closer. Allow me to do this work within you that's going to bring you into the fullness of life and the fruition of what it is that God has created us to be and called us to be. Now, I know that there are going to be some people who say, that is not my experience reading Scripture. I open it up and I go through it and then I close it and it's like, well, it was just like talking to a brick wall. I don't know where you're getting this from. My encouragement, my guess, is that part of the reason that as you look at Scripture, it doesn't speak to your heart, it doesn't come alive, it just feels like dead words, is that you're trying to read too much. I've done the Read Your Bible Through in a Year program 3-4 times. And when you're trying to knock out 6 chapters of Scripture in a sitting, it is a lot. It is, that's a very fascinating story, but no time for that now. I got to plow through. It sometimes helps in numbers when you're like, how many descendants did these people have? But still, there are some great things in Numbers. There are some amazing things in Leviticus. But when we try and take too much in, when we try and look at it all at once, we lose it. In order to have that communication and draw closer in relationship to God through Scripture, try smaller bites. Try some nibbles and savoring it. Try looking at a parable or a verse or a couplet out of Proverbs or something that is smaller, and then just kind of hang on to it for a couple days, a week. When I am preaching or when I am leading a Bible study, I will go over that passage early in the week and then just kind of let it sit for a couple days as it bounces around in my heart and my soul and my mind. Little trade secret, the shower is a great place to let Scripture bounce around in your head. For those of you who have small children, usually you get to be alone. For those of you who have matured past small children, it is just an opportunity to let the ideas bounce around and see, where do I see myself in the midst of that story? The lamp lights up the feet and the path of the feet, and the invitation is, as it's dark outside, but you can see the path in front of you, that you would actually step forward on the path. That you would walk along that path because it has been illuminated for us. Scripture calls us to respond. It invites us into action. It calls for us to do something with it. Little bit of drive-by discipleship for you. Beware of spiritual obesity. What do I mean by that? I mean it is really easy in this world that we live in to have Scripture and devotionals and Bible studies you attend and sermons and things that you read and songs that you're listening to. And if you put on K-Love, all the commercials are like 30-second to one-minute devotionals. Just like take in, take in, take in, take in, and never actually do anything with it. I can't apply that Bible study because I've got another one to go to. I can't actually do anything about caring for the poor or visiting the sick or taking some time to intercede or just being with God because I have to go to the next place where I'm feeding. It is easy for modern Christians to be constantly eating and never doing anything with it. What that looks like with physical food, we call obesity. What that looks like with spiritual food, which is scripture, spiritual obesity. It is a waste of the resources being poured into us because we're just overindulging and never actually sharing with the world what it is that God has given to us. That's your public service announcement. Now, back we go. Scripture study is not worship. That's a different spiritual discipline. It's still valuable, called for in Scripture, but they are not the same thing. I think some of the best worship songs ever are based out of Scripture, but they're not the same thing. Scripture study is also not a book study that somebody wrote about Scripture. It's not commentaries. It's not podcasts. It's not even sermons. All of those are people who are looking at the same sources that you have, looking at Scripture and then giving you their impression of here's what it means, which has value but is not the same as looking at the text on your own and saying this is what God is saying to me through this. They are the equivalent of pre-chewed food. Scripture study instead is you actually get out the words. Look at the passage. Look at the context. What is actually going on? What prompts these things? What connections are there? As we go through Scripture in Sunday school, one of my favorite, most joyous things is to say, this is a chiasm. Look at how this whole big Scripture works down to this point and see the connections, and it context provides clues on what God is driving us to. You can ask, what does it actually say? You can ask, what is it that God is calling me to do to respond? And if you get stuck, when you get stuck, ask some friends to join you. One of the amazing things about studying Scripture is that it becomes richer when there are more perspectives involved. It becomes a more holistic and complete view of who God is and what He's calling us into when the life story of multiple people and their interactions with God and how they have experienced God are all poured onto the same text. And you can see where do we see ourselves in this passage? What is God inviting us into? And voila, you're leading a Bible study. Now, if you happen to get stuck in the midst of that, then you can dive into research. You can go to those commentaries. You can go to the sermons. You can go to the podcast. People have some amazing resources that help to fill out our picture of what is Scripture and what does it mean and what is it for. But they are to be tools, they're not the source material. The source material, the inspired Word of God, is not a podcast, is not a book by a famous Christian author. It is the Scriptures. And it invites us in because God longs to transform us and shape us through His words. If you get stuck, sometimes Scripture sinks in at a rate that we don't like. Because I would like to sit down, study it, be transformed, and be done in an hour. There's a reason that Jesus uses farming and seeds as analogies so often, because they take time. They take cultivation. Let the Word of God sit for a while. Let it percolate. Let it seep. Let it soak. Let it brine. Whatever analogy you want to use for something slowly transforming something else. Leaven. Whatever you want to do. The work of changing a heart doesn't happen in 45 minutes. The work of changing a life and directing our paths is not something that is as easy as, well, I just read about Zacchaeus, so I'm going to go and give all my wealth away. Transformation takes time, and God's not in a rush. Likewise, we don't have to be in a rush. We are not trying to master the Bible so that we don't need it anymore. We are trying to engage with what God is doing within us and the world around us. And I found two things in particular that help take ideas from the theoretical and the abstract into the practical. One of them is leading. I am inspired to know what it is I'm talking about when I'm leading a Bible study more than if it's just me that depends on it. Part of the reason of those 1,600 is because if I didn't have the opportunity to take questions from people that I am leading, I would not study as hard, I would not prepare as much, and I would not get as much out of it. Having the opportunity to lead a scripture study is a great way to encourage you to actually take it seriously and invite you into trying to figure out how to apply this and how to be changed by it. And the second piece on top of leading, of moving from theoretical to realistic, is application, is actually taking steps with what we learn and carving space out of our day, week, month, year, whatever it is, in order to use what it is we learn. Every time that we are in Scripture, every time we are reading the Bible, it's as if God has put a fork in the road saying, you can come along with me, or you can choose to go your own way. Every single time. And the opportunity to go with God always involves taking steps into what he's invited us into. Sometimes what he's inviting us into is Sabbath and rest. Sometimes what he's inviting us into is just be in my presence and know that you are loved and know that God is your father and your value doesn't come from your resume but comes from the fact that you're related to him. Sometimes what he's calling us into is you should volunteer on the children's ministry team. Sometimes what he's calling us into is you should talk to the person that you really don't like in the office. You should forgive the person who hurt you so much. But there's always an invitation. There's always an invitation to come closer in relationship and use what it is we've learned. So my invitation, call, conclusion, whatever you want to say, read a small portion of Scripture this week. It can be this verse that we just had. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Read a small section of Scripture and let it sit with you through the week. Whether it's in the midst of taking a shower, doing dishes, whether it is while you are walking, let that bounce through your head. I can't tell you how many times the Amy Grant song, Thy Word, played in my head over the last 3 weeks. It's just been in there all the time. And we can choose to try and push that out, or we can choose to let it stay in there and see what God does with us in the midst of that. Ponder the Scripture. look for ways to apply it. Look for what God is setting out before you and step into that. And watch as the treasure of God that is his word seeps into us and grows in our heart and our mind and our character. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the ways that you speak to us, all the ways that you are enticing us to come after you. Will you grant us wisdom into what scriptures to read? Will you grant us humility to be shaped by your words? And will you pour your joy upon us as we lean closer into you? Amen.